to praise God. Let's take our Bibles, if you would, and make our declaration before Him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to turn to a scripture. It's in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Remember this. 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, remember, these are letters that were penned down and written by the apostles. You know, most of them by Paul or, you know, the Apostle Paul, you know, there's John and whatever. But the first epistle or the first Corinthians and second Corinthians was written and penned down by the Apostle Paul. And God gave him these letters to write to the churches. Remember that, it's to church, most of them, you know, in there were two churches, actual churches in that community. That's just like if God would send us a letter from somebody that they would pin it down and say to the church in Gaydon, to the church in Kaplan, to the church in Crowley, to the church in Rain, and that would be to that particular, those particular believers there. That's the same thing. God was writing through the Apostle Paul these scriptures. There was one. There was not just one letter, but there was two, because there's 1st and 2nd Corinthians. So he wrote two letters to that church from the Apostle Paul that we now have in the canon of scriptures called the Bible. And so that scripture, I want you, let's look at it. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. And it says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. Ooh, people should have shouted. That's some great scriptures. Now, he's writing this to the Corinthians, but we need to also remember, as God was writing it, or the Apostle Paul was writing it under the unction of the Holy Spirit, he was also writing it for the church body today. Okay, so it says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. Now, I want you to turn to another scripture in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 4, which is basically close to the scripture in Corinthians. It says, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither have the eyes seen, O God, besides thee, what He has prepared for him that waiteth for Him. The only, keep that one up for just a minute, the only differences between Isaiah 64 and 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, is the latter part. One says, loves Him, and one says, Him that waiteth for Him. Or waited, or waits on Him. That's like when we go in prayer and we wait upon the Lord. Or we pray about situations and we wait upon the Lord for the answer. You know, I've learned this through ministry, that when God is doing something or we need to make certain decisions, that we shouldn't rush to do it. Amen. That, you know, I often tell people now, what does God want? Wait on that still small voice on the inside that can speak to you. Listen to the voice of your God. Somebody asked me during the week, you know, what should I do about this situation? And I told that person, wait on the Lord and listen to the still small voice on the inside that will tell you, which is the Holy Spirit, which will tell you what to do. See, we can't rush now just because we think we know the answer to something. That we need to wait upon the Lord, because it may not be what we're thinking. You know, we might want to cut things off and just sever this then and go on. But God may say, no, 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 no. Do this and do that. See, in Scripture it says that my people are led by what? My Spirit. And my sheep, what? Know my voice. How, you know, we're in a day and age when I'm telling you that supposedly God's people don't know, they don't know the voice of the Lord. You might say, well, how do you know that? You can see the kind of mess the church is in. And you can see the things that are happening in churches that should never be happening in churches. I was talking to someone and I asked them, their church is kind of by Indian reservations and all this stuff. You know, I respect the Indian people, but I don't respect the spirit aspect of that, because it's not the Holy Spirit. And it's, if it's not of the Holy Spirit, that means it's demonic and it's from the evil world. And I said, you know, I said, I've heard of many churches in all these areas that they will allow these Indian groups to come in and do their dances and call on spirits. Now, this is Baptist churches. This is Pentecostal churches. This is Assembly of God churches, supposedly filled with the Holy Spirit, letting them come into their churches and doing all these. Now, it's beautiful, all that they're dressed in. But let me tell you this. Do you think God is pleased with any person or any pastor that will allow evil into a church or even anything on the property that is supposed to belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, calling on evil spirits from the evil world to make it rain or to do all kinds of stuff? And the answer he gave me, I said, oh, thank you, Lord, was no, we've never let that happen in our church. And I said, thank you. Thank you. See, we got to realize this. We cannot touch that evil that is there. We got to stay apart from that.
Yes.
And say, my God is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We bow only to Jesus Christ. We bow only to the blood of Jesus. We bow only to the Spirit of God. See that we've been separated by the things of God. See, the world has infiltrated the church. And let me tell you, the world now can't tell it apart. We're to live lives that are pleasing to the Lord. That doesn't mean we're perfect, oh Lord, huh? It's always our hands and feet. None of us are perfect. That's why we needed our Lord and Savior. But let me tell you, we need to live a separated life unto our Lord. Say, Father, help me. Help me. Go back to 1 Corinthians, please. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered to the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. From the time you and I got saved, you could probably think of the day. You could probably think of almost a time. You could probably think of, you know, just where you were when you gave your heart to the Lord. And let me tell you, that was a glorious, great day. When someone, it says that in heaven, they triumph when a sinner comes to Jesus. That there is rejoicing in the heavens. But also, as they are rejoicing and we give our lives to the Lord, God starts to work on each and every one of us. And this is the scripture. It says, and this is what starts to happen. When you got saved, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered to the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love. I look at it almost this way. When we got, you know, everybody likes Easter, huh? I mean, you know, everybody has the big basket, you know, and you have the gold brick eggs and all the good candy, you know, we get all the best of candy. I mean, that is just cool. I think when we get saved, just an analogy, is that when we get saved, it's like a big basket. And God has so many great things in that basket for each and every one of us. Some things that are in there will be for next week. Some things that are in there would be for next year. Some things in there would be in 10 years from now. Because you see, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered to the heart of man of the things which God has prepared for them that love them, him, and will wait for him. You see, when I first got saved, I didn't know God had called me to be a preacher. When I got saved, I mean, that was in 1980, February of 1980. When I got saved, I didn't think of preaching the gospel. Honestly, the preacher I knew, I thought he was crazy, you know, in some of the things. Didn't understand it, you know. But you see, God knew, just as when you got saved, God knew the things that he would call you to do. See, God has so many great things prepared for you. All we got to do is sit there, wait upon him, and love him. And say, Lord, prepare my heart for the things that you want me to do in the future. Prepare my heart for the things that you want me to do tomorrow. Prepare my heart for the things that you want me to do next year. You know? I didn't realize, then years later, just something was on the inside of me. I never thought God would call me to open a church here in Gaynor. I don't know. Now, in a couple of years, I don't know what's going to happen. See, that's the Spirit of God moving. That's the Spirit of God moving. See, we got to look at it. That's my basket. And everything in it is for me from God. And what does he have for me to do? Some things are bigger than others. I understand that. But what does he have? You know, we're not here just to sit around and do nothing. There's no retirement in the kingdom of God. What does God want? It's us to find out what the preparer has for us. It's for us to find out what our God has for us. What does he want? We know he is the light of the world. My God. He's the light that's in us. What does he want us to do? We know this, that everybody has the same number one thing to do, and that's to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. The Bible says for us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. People, we need to herald forth the gospel. You might say, Pastor, I'm not worthy of doing that. Yes, you are. Don't fall in the line of the enemy thinking that I can't do it. Let me tell you, once you get saved, and you get drawn out of the pit of hell, and God gives you a hope, and God gives you life, you have a story to tell. You have a story to tell about how God can save your soul, how God snatched you out of the pit of hell, how God healed your body, how God gave you direction, how God saved your marriage, how God healed your body. The power of Almighty God. The power of Almighty God. The light of the world, people, lives on the inside of us. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. Andrew probably never thought. God didn't call him till he was licensed. Now, that's just what, because he knew he'd have to bring a copy of that, God knew, to them. They're strict over here. But God didn't call him to go to Rain, prison, or Crawley, wherever it is, Lafayette. God called him to Vermillion Parish. And let me tell you, when God calls us to do something, doesn't mean it's easy. See, See, we get into this thing where, you know, everything's going to be great. Let me tell you, when God calls us to do something, doesn't mean it's going to be easy. But you go and you obey. And you let the Spirit of God work. And you see what God can do. You see how He can bring things together. How He can take things apart. How God can move upon a situation. That's the power of Almighty God. See, we don't serve a deadhead God that is out in Neverland somewhere. But we serve a King and a Lord that is in the heavens above. The Father sitting upon the throne. And Jesus sitting on the right side of Him. And the Holy Spirit roaming the earth and doing a mighty work for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's who we serve. A great God. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What power and what authority this deity has that created everything in this world. My God, can you imagine? In 6 days, a literal 6 24-hour period days, that He created everything upon the earth for all eternity. My God, what a powerful God we serve. And how can anything that we go through not be or be too hard for Him that He can't solve? If He could create the world in 6 days, He can do a mighty work in your family. He can save your friends. He can save your family. He can save your wife. He can save your husband. He can save your children. The devil will try to make you and I believe that it's lost. Let me tell you, nothing's lost.
Amen.
Nothing's lost. Amen.
Come on.
Not with God. There's everything to gain with Him, people, as we trust in Him. Yes, some things are hard to bear. But I'm sure Jesus, that was hard for Him to bear upon the cross.
Amen.
And why did He do it? John 3:16. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. For God so loved Joseph. For God so loved and put your name in the love of your Father to look to us. And I know sometimes we look at ourselves and we think, oh my God, what's going on here? But let me tell you, He loves us. You see, we're not finished products yet. We're not finished. God has a lot of work left to do. You know, sometimes we put ourselves up too far. God's not finished. The Holy Spirit is not finished working on us. There's a lot that He has to do in us, taking out things and putting things in. That's the power of Almighty God. Eye has not seen, ears have not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for His people. I want you to turn to 2 Kings chapter 5, please. 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. Look at starting with verse 2, please. It said, and the Syrians had gone out by companies, and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Now, in the kingdom of God, everybody's important. This little maid here, you might say, well, no, she's not even named. They didn't even say her name. But she still was important in the kingdom. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has for those who love Him. My Lord, this little lady was taken captive. Can you imagine? Here she is in Israel, her family, her friends, very young, no husband, no children, but taken captive and brought into a land that she knew not of. And we know from what the what they're saying, the comments, you know, she could have drew better towards God. I mean, better. It sometimes it doesn't take much for mankind to be better towards God. We often have to remember all events that happen in our lives can either be stepping stones or stumbling blocks. Whatever one you want it to be. This little maid, little girl, really, taken captive from her homeland, brought into a new land. No father, no mother, no brothers, no sisters, no family. And here she is to help. The queen. She was a maid to her queen, the queen, just to do whatever needed to be done. And she hears about her boss's husband, Naaman, and how he had leprosy all over his body. And all of a sudden she says, I know a man that can bring healing to his body. Talk about the prophet Elijah. And it says that she went to Naaman, and the servants went and told him about it. And Naaman said, well, I need to try. And so all of a sudden he sends a letter to Elisha saying, look, we're going to be there at your house. When I get there, you know, he's coming with all the fanfare of everything. He's the king. Gets to Elisha's house, and Elisha doesn't even come out. He just sends a servant and says, go tell this guy, go into the Jordan, dip 7 times, and he'll be healed. And it says that it infuriated him. Now, here the little girl steps in again with some of the servants and said, because he didn't want to go and dip in the Jordan. That was the dirtiest water at that time. There were other two rivers and bodies of water that he could have went to and dipped that were clean. But he could have went and dipped 7 times if he wanted to. And would have got out of there the 7th time still with leprosy. See, we don't realize how important it is to obey the Spirit of the Lord. You know, we think, well, I can make this decision. I can do this. Oh, no, you can't. We're not our own anymore. We've been bought with a price. Now, you know, you don't have to pray, Lord, should I go eat here or there? I mean, you know, that's kind of, or Lord, should I put gas in going to eat? You know, come on now. Unless you want to walk. You know, there's some things that are logical. But the things of God and what God has called us to, we are to rely upon Him. And this guy got so mad because even the prophet didn't come out and talk to him. See, sometimes we think we cannot let pride and arrogance get in the way of receiving the blessings of God. We need to humble ourselves before God. However God wants to do it. Don't we have all our own plans? I mean, we know how God's going to save our families and how He's going to do it and how we're going to pray and how it's going to happen. And then when it starts to move and God's supposed to move and it's nothing like we thought at all. And here David gets mad and all of a sudden the servants come and the little girl comes with says, sir, how hard is it just to go to that body of water, the Jordan, and dip yourself 7 times? Why not? And all of a sudden, the anger of Naaman went away. And he said, I better listen. Look, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for his people. If it wasn't for that little girl, she saved Naaman from having leprosy his whole life. If it wasn't for that little girl and God using her in a capacity and way to touch the king and the queen and that whole Syrian country, if it wasn't for her, where would they be? And it says that he went and he dipped himself. And that took faith. It did. You know, we often think, why 7 times? That's God's number 7. 6 is the number of man. That's why the Antichrist, 666, that's the man. He's the Antichrist. Seven is the number for God. And so when he went in that door and walked in, maybe he didn't believe it, but he was going to do it. One time. You know, he looked at himself. Come on. Two, looked at himself. Three, four, five, six. And all of a sudden, he said, one more time. Seven. And he came up clear. See, when we obey the Spirit of God, what God has prepared for us is beyond measure. When we obey that still small voice on the inside that speaks to us from the Word of God or through songs or through books or through the Word of God or through whatever, just talking to us, no telling what God has prepared for us. That's an amazing thing, people. What God has prepared already for you since you are saved. No telling what. Great things of God. My Lord. This little girl. Read about also a chapter or two before that. You know, there was a little lady that the creditors came and they wanted their money. And because she didn't have money, they said, "We'll take your sons." If that was done today by their children, people wouldn't borrow so much when they know they can't pay it. There's nothing wrong with borrowing. Please don't write me a nasty letter or anything. There's nothing wrong with borrowing. You know, if it's within your means, huh, Otis. Otis is a car. He's not a car salesman. He works for this little company out of Lafayette. I think it's called what service chevrolet?
Cadillac.
Oh yeah. Oh Lord, yes. The Cadillac has to be in there. Service Cadillac.
Service Chevrolet Cadillac.
Oh, okay. Service Chevrolet Cadillac. So if you need if you want a Chevy or if you need a Cadillac, go there. Or any used vehicle. You know. Otis will help you. He'll show you how everything works on it. Good God. Amen. But here this little lady wanted, these guys needed their money, and she didn't have it. And she went to the prophet and said, "I need you to help me." It says that from the scriptures, it talks about maybe she might have been married to a former prophet, which was in the prophet with the prophet that was there. So, and the prophet came to her and he said, "What do you have?" And all she had in her house was some oil. A little bit of oil. She said, "That's all I have." He said, "Okay." He said, "This is what I want you to do. Now remember the scripture, ear has not heard. Okay, eye has not seen, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for his people." Every time you obey the Lord, something great is gonna happen. He said, "Go to everybody you know of and get vessels, big ones, small ones, as many as you can get." And she said, "Okay." So she had her sons and herself, and they went all over the place looking for buckets, looking for barrels, looking for anything that they could do, you know, that like he said. And they came back with him. And he said, "Now I want you to start pouring that oil that you have in your home into these bowls." Now can you imagine, she gets a bowl, her son gets one, and she takes the oil that she, and she knows, let's say she has a cup. Probably didn't have much, because, I mean, she was poor. And she pours it, and this vessel, this bowl is like three cups. And she looks, it's still in there. Gives it to her son, they put it on the side. They bring another bowl, starts pouring. And fills up another vessel, gives it to her son, brings it on the side. That went on to every vessel was full of oil. Then all of a sudden, there was no more oil. people, that's God. That can change circumstances, people. That's the kind of God we serve. That takes what we have. Look, most of us think that we don't have much for the kingdom of God. Let me tell you, God thinks we have a lot for him. And he'll use what we have. It might just be a little bit of oil. But let me tell you, he'll take that oil and he'll keep pouring it. And you know what's an amazing thing? The oil never stopped. It was the vessels that stopped. When she ran out of vessels or bowls or barrels to put the oil in, that's when the oil stopped. The oil is like the Holy Spirit. He keeps pouring out upon his children's lives, people. That's the oil of Almighty God that is looking for a people that will humble themselves and pray and seek his face and see the power and the anointing of God move upon a people like never before. Look, God says in the last days that he would pour out his spirit, as it says in Joel chapter 2, upon his people. He's ready to pour it out. Pour out his spirit. Pour out his spirit. Pour out his spirit. As evil rises up, we know it's rising up. Lord, just look at people. As evil rises up, God, the Holy Spirit, is pouring out his spirit upon his churches, pouring out his spirit upon his people, pouring out his spirit upon whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, because he's looking for a people that will serve him, that will love him, and that will trust him with their lives. Look, we just got to get where God is and let him keep pouring out the oil of the Holy Spirit upon our hearts and upon our lives. That's a miracle, people. That's a miracle. A miracle by God. Look, we're living in the times of miracles, people. God can do what he can do. You might say, I don't know, Pastor. My back's against the wall. The creditors are coming. Look, God can change circumstances. God can do what God can do things that we never thought were possible.
Yeah.
That's the power of our God.
Amen.
We don't serve no deadhead God. We serve a God that's alive and well and resurrected. My God, from the earth. That's the power of Almighty God. That resurrection power lives on the inside of us. Praise God, praise God. What a God we serve.
Amen.
When you stand before God tomorrow morning as you pray, stand boldly before him. We come humbly to the throne, but we stand boldly before our God because we are children of the living God.
Yes,
and he says, come boldly before me, and you're going to see the things that you never thought were possible, the things that I have prepared for you. Find out what God has prepared. You see, a lot of times this is what will happen. As God gives us, from the day we were saved, that basket full of things, he gives us this thing, boom, and we have to obey him. Then he gives us the next one, and we have to obey him. Then he gives us the third thing, and we have to obey him. We have no choices in the kingdom. I know we like to think so because we're Americans. Yes, we have a lot of opportunity. But in the kingdom of God, we have no choice, people. We're not our own anymore. We've been bought with a price. We're sold out to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We have no choices. We don't choose where we go to church. We don't choose who we give our tithes to. We don't choose, you know, where we're going to work. We don't choose those things. God chooses that for us. He is in control of our hearts. He is in control of our lives. That's the power of Almighty God. That he is in control of those things, not us. And let me tell you, that's a good thing. Because when he's in control, when something goes wrong, we can call upon him and he's already acting upon what needs to be done.
Yes.
To take care of things. I've learned this. See, I didn't ask to come here at all. But I know this. God takes care of things for me here. Whatever rises up, God takes care of it. Because he has put me here. And that's just like you. When God places you in a place, He takes care of things. And the scripture says, call him and I will answer thee and show you what? Great and mighty things. Oh, Lord, my Lord, what a God we serve. God gave that oil. She took that oil and went sell it. And he said, you sell it, you pay off your creditors, and you live on the rest. She made some money. To live the rest of her life debt free, because it's been paid for by the oil that was given by God. And to live on the rest for the rest of her life. What kind of pension is that? My God, that's a godly pension. Praise God. That can make a woman that is about to lose her sons, lose her house, lose her donkey, lose her Cadillac in the garage. You would say it that way. And come out and be debt-free. My God. Because you see, when you owed somebody back then, they came after your children. If you couldn't pay them. What God has prepared for you. Obey him today. And you'll see as you obey, God will give you something else like that basket that he's already prepared. He's waiting to give it to us.
Yes.
All he's waiting for us is to get where he wants us to be. Some things are for today, some things are for tomorrow, and some things are for 10 years from now. But God will take care of it, and he will give it out when it's time. You just pray, Lord, every day, Lord, your will be done. Prepare me. Your will be done. Prepare me. Amen. You may stand, please. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just praise your name, Lord. I just want to make sure before we're dismissed, I want to ask you a very important question. Do you know Jesus? Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If you have not done so and you would like to do so, would you please raise your hand so we can pray with you? Looks like everybody's ready to meet the Lord. Let's pray all together because we have people watching on Facebook and stuff, so we want to make sure. Let's pray this prayer together. Say, Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Father,
I ask you to forgive me,
of all of my sins.
I accept you
as the Lord
of my life.
I believe
that you died on the cross. And you rose again from the dead.
I accept you
as my God.
My Lord.
And my Savior.
Lead me
and guide me. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
You may look this way. Look, Angel, why don't you come and prepare to close us in prayer? Jelaine and I, we love you guys. Every one of you. We appreciate you, and we thank God for you. You don't know, just being here today has blessed my heart, because we love you guys. And we pray the blessings of God upon your heart. Don't forget Thursday night. I keep saying Wednesday. Watch, we're going to go back to Wednesday and say Thursday. Thursday night Bible study at 7 o'clock. Amen. God bless you. And Andrew's going to close us in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we lift you up, Father God. We ask you.